Briefly, we're going to touch on trade. We're going to touch a little bit on the WIP Plus disaster program that applied to the 2018 and 2019 drought that did affect several of our counties where cotton is grown. We are going to touch briefly on the CARES Act that passed on Friday that includes some relief for coronavirus-related effects, and that does include agriculture in that act. And then also just briefly conjecture about market facilitation program based on some of what happened in the CARES Act. So in terms of trade, you know, for cotton, we were looking at this phase one trade deal and the effect that that could have on our ability to export cotton, which is very important for this crop. However, because of what's happening in the world with the coronavirus pandemic, we may not see the timing of that go in as quickly as possible. China said the purchases would be based on market conditions and consistent with WTO rules. What does that mean practically? It means that the economic damage that they have taken in that country could provide some justification for them to slow the purchase of those agricultural commodities under the phase one trade deal. Now, President Trump is still placing a lot of emphasis on the phase one trade deal, still trying to have those agricultural purchases happen. But I think we just need to be realistic that the world economy is hurting right now. And because a lot of the restrictions that are in place in multiple countries around the world, exports just aren't going to move as fast as they would if we were under normal business. So, you know, from the trade perspective, I don't want any of us to take our eye off of that prize in saying that we need to improve the U.S.'s position in the world trade market, but just to recognize that our world trade doesn't look the way it did 6 months ago by any means. So that's kind of all I was going to say on the trade side, because we really are in a whole other world. And as long as these movement restrictions are in place in multiple countries, that's going to kind of suppress some of the demand, particularly for things like people aren't going out and buying clothing. They're not going out and buying new sheets. However, on the flip side of things, there's a huge demand for masks, surgical gowns, hospital bed sheets. So there's some trade-offs in terms of demand for the linen or from the cotton goods that are produced. For the WIP Plus program, this is something that you all probably saw at other programs that happened in January. I borrowed slides from Jody Campici from her Red River Crops Conference presentation on the overview of how the WIP Plus program was expanded. Now, WIP stands for the Wildfire Hurricane Indemnity Program that was extended for additional coverage for drought, flooding, and quality impacts. In Oklahoma, we're really falling under those drought qualifications for counties that had the D3 or greater drought classification for 2018 or 2019 or both years. The same kind of payment limitations occur as what you would expect under other programs. And these are the counties in Oklahoma that would actually qualify. The blue is the 2018 qualifying counties. The yellow would be 2019 only. We don't have any that were only qualified for 2019. But then the green is both 2018 and 2019. So that program has opened up for enrollment. It opened up on Monday. Because of COVID-19, just like extension and many other services, it has affected county office staffing for FSA. So I think they might be in a situation where they're rotating in one person at a time, and they may not be open to the public in many counties. So what's that going to mean for procedures and deadlines? I think we are going to see some extended deadlines for various kinds of programs. We're going to see a shift where they're going to try to do more things over the phone or online where they can. I mean, a lot of this stuff, you've got to have a signature. So, you know, we'll just have to have some patience as they figure out their procedures for these programs, but then also there may be some additional flexibility there from them. The one thing I could say that you could certainly do to be ready is to have your records ready if you're in one of these eligible counties. The WIP Plus payment is going to be based on the value of the crop, and it's also going to include any insurance indemnities you receive. So have your paperwork ready, get all that kind of pulled together, and then whenever the time comes that you can get into the office or that you can talk to someone on the phone, however they end up doing that in your specific county, then you'll have everything that you need and you'll be ready to go for that program. The CARES Act, the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act. This was just signed into law on Friday, March 27th. It does contain some money specifically earmarked for agriculture. It isn't a huge portion of the bill. I'm going to pull up the numbers here real quick because I haven't gotten these memorized yet. It's about a $2 trillion bill. This is one of the biggest aid packages we've ever seen in the U.S. And a lot of that is going to go to individuals and small businesses. A lot of our farms will fall into certainly the individual benefits, but then also, depending on how they're incorporated, they may fall into some of the business benefits as well. So it's kind of a different world, but it's something to keep in mind as we go along. In terms of the individual benefits, it doesn't look like there's going to be any additional paperwork that has to be filed to get those benefits. Those are going to run directly based on tax returns through the IRS, and they're going to operate as non-taxable income. Think of it like a credit that you get ahead of your 2020 taxes. So that's one thing, just kind of a note on the individuals. The money set aside for agriculture is about $49 billion. That represents less than 1% of the overall spending package. It's like 0.03% thereabout. 19% of that $49 billion or $9.5 billion is for ag programs. So that's going to be specifically targeting specialty crop producers, livestock producers. So anybody who also has some stockers or fed cattle would fall into that category. And then anyone who's marketing locally through farmers markets or their local restaurants as well will be targeted under that $9.5 billion. I think for cotton producers, the bigger win is going to be the $14 billion used to replace CCC funds. This is about a third of the money set aside for agriculture in the CARES Act. And this is specifically replenishing the Commodity Credit Corps Fund, which is that pot of money that's used to pay for things like ARCM PLC, like the Market Facilitation Program. Basically, they're expecting an increased payouts under those programs this year because of what's happening in markets. So this is money that's specifically for fiscal year 20. It isn't going to be paying for that second or third tranche of the MFP 2019 that you may have already received. But it is designed just for fiscal year 20 expenditures out of the CCC. So that's something to bear in mind whenever we're thinking about the increased demand for those programs, or the increased payouts under those programs, I should say, they have replenished the money in the fund that is going to pay for those. The details of how these programs are going to work are really changing by the hour. We're getting, we know of a few things. We know there's an extended tax filing deadline, which is going to be, I think, July 15th now. So there's a little bit more time to get taxes in. You know, there's a lot of tax offices that simply aren't open right now. You can't get in to talk to your accountant in the office. We're going to be trying to do more things remotely. It's going to take a little bit more time. And there was some recognition of that. This does have some implications for that individual rebate under the CARES Act. Essentially, it will be based on your 2018 taxes if you have not already filed your 2019 taxes. So if you've already filed your 2019 taxes, they will estimate your individual rebate eligibility based on your 2019 taxes. But if you haven't, if you're under that extended deadline, then they're going to base it on your 2018 taxes. A couple of important points on that. One is that if you file your 2020 taxes and you would have been overpaid under the rebate eligibility, they're not going to pull that money back from you. That's yours once they've established it. However, if you were in one of those brackets where you didn't get the full payment amount, which is $1,200 for an individual or $2,400 for a married couple filing jointly, plus $500 per child, and then you filed your 2020 taxes and you would have been eligible for the full amount at the time of filing your 2020 taxes, that's when they'd go ahead and pay that additional amount all the way up to the full maximum for your family. Other things we might see is we might see some extended deadlines for USDA programs, just keeping in mind that the logistical challenges of getting some of those in. I haven't heard of any of those extended deadlines yet, but we might see them. Expanded loan capacity, there was some additional money put in for FSA loans under the CARES Act, which is good because those pots of loan money were already gone for 2020 before we even got into coronavirus. So this is just some additional infusion of funds for possible FSA guaranteed loans. Also, there's some language in the CARES Act about extending loan repayment options, deferring bankruptcies, some things like that. So certainly be in touch with lenders, including FSA, about loan repayment options if this becomes an issue further into the year. Because I don't really have the time to go into all the details. I can't even say I understand all the details at this point of those programs. Then the other thing is that we are seeing some decrease in interest rates for the year. So there may be some benefits from lower interest rates further into 2020 as well.
I mean, we did have a question on if the deadline for filing has been extended to July 15th, or is it just the payment deadline?
They did extend the deadline for, at first, it was just the payment deadline, but then they also extended the filing deadline. Now, I'll need to go back and double check if that also went out to July 15th as well, but the filing deadline was extended. So MFP 2020 question mark. Is there going to be an MFP 2020? This was a program that, really helped a lot of producers in our state in 2018 and 2019. Will we see a 2020 program? I think if we continue to see this slowdown in the ability to implement the Phase One trade deal, there's a good chance we will see an MFP 2020. No announcement, let me just be very clear about this. No announcement has been made at this time to indicate an MFP 2020 from USDA. We haven't seen that announcement yet. We did hear the announcement about the third tranche of payments for MFP 2019, so we can just keep those separated in our minds. However, when it comes to MFP 2020, I think there's kind of two things that would make me think we might see something on that later in the year. The first is that MFP was specifically cited as a reason to refill the CCC coffers. I think that maybe speaks a little bit because it was cited as a reason that they would want to do that, the MFP 2019 program, even though this money, this infusion into CCC would be for fiscal year 20 programs, not including that third tranche of MFP 2019. The other thing that I would say is MFP is really designed to offset some of the trade losses that have been experienced by the U.S. ag producers in the last few years. And COVID-19 has definitely impacted global markets. It's impacted, and that consequently has impacted our domestic markets. So I think that the conditions are there to justify it. But it really depends on whether they think the benefits under other kinds of aid packages more than offset any justification for an MFP 2020. Obviously, we don't know what the Secretary of Agriculture will do yet in that space, but if we do see an MFP 2020, I don't think it will look like 2018 or 2019. There was a big increase in MFP funding in 2019 versus 2018. 2019, it was $14.5 billion spent on MFP. 2018, it was only $4.6 billion that was spent on MFP. So I think we'll see something that looks yet again different if we do see something in 2020. So a few final reminders, and this is where we do get kind of back into the normal business of things. First is the election for ARC and PLC is already done, but we're still in the 2020 crop year enrollment period that goes out until June 30th. If you enrolled seed cotton base in ARC and PLC for 2020, you won't be eligible for stacks. But if you have elected your seed cotton base but wish to participate in stacks, you just don't enroll for the 2020 crop year. And also just a note, if you have other kinds of base, they can be enrolled in ARC and PLC and you can still have stacks for your seed cotton base. A little bit of confusion there with the ability of having ARC and PLC or stacks this year. PLC yield update is due by September 30th still at this point. I haven't seen any indications that either the June 30th or September 30th deadline would be extended at this time. So still kind of making plans to take care of those two pieces for ARC and PLC. Starting in October, you would have the option to change your ARC or PLC election if you wish to. And then just finally, please take care of yourself and your family as we go through this year. And as always, if there are any questions I can answer, please let me know.